is a podcast from the Refugee Study Centre. To find out more, please visit www.rsc.ox.ac.uk.
Well, thank you very much for the kind introduction. Thanks for inviting me. As Matt mentioned, I'm an economist, but I work across the economics and politics, mainly of labor immigration. Most of my work has been on comparative labor immigration policies around the world, and I've got particular interest in policy making processes. And most of my work is motivated by specific policy questions or policy dilemmas. So the previous book I did with Bridget Anderson was motivated by the question, when an employer says they need more migrant workers, how should government think about that? How should government evaluate that claim? Now, this book is motivated by the simple question, what rights should we give migrant workers after they've been admitted? So the talk is mainly about international labor migration, but why I'm particularly pleased that I can present it here as well is that in recent months, quite a few people have asked me to what extent I think the kinds of arguments that I'm making about labor migration policy also apply to other types of immigration policies, including asylum policy. So I'm looking forward to having that discussion at the end. So what I'm trying to do in the book is bring together two types of debates and two strands of literature that have, for most of the time, been living in isolation. And so on the one hand, see if this works better. On one hand, you have a lot of people working on development. Development economists argue that there should be more international labor migration globally. As many of you will know, compared to international trade and capital flows, migration is much more restricted. It's only 3% of the world's people are migrants, so are foreign-born. And the share of exports in world GDP is about 25%. The share of foreign direct investment globally in global capital stocks about the same. So because the wage differences across countries for people doing the same jobs are much larger than differences in product prices or in interest rates, returns to capital, the benefits from liberalizing labor migration are much bigger than the benefits of further liberalizing international trade and capital flows. I mean, that's a very common thing you hear development economists, trade economists make that case. So especially for low-skilled labor migration, which is most heavily restricted, there's a strong case for trying to get high-income countries to admit more migrant workers. The World Bank claims that there's no more effective strategy for raising the incomes of workers in poor countries than giving them an opportunity to work in higher-income countries. And the connection with development, of course, is more contested, the impact of migration on development of the country of origin as a whole. But it is quite clear that giving more migrants, the workers in poor countries, or more workers in poor countries, the opportunity to work in higher countries will lead to very large income gains for migrants and their families. So more migration is a good thing from that point of view. At the same time, you've had people concerned with the rights of migrants. Many UN agencies, many migrant rights advocates argue, point out that there are severe restrictions of rights around migrant rights around the world, and there should be greater equality of rights, better protection of migrant workers. International Labour Organization, in particular, Office of High Commissioner of Human Rights, have been arguing very strongly that there should be